Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Jill Robbins and Alice Bryant. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, most Christians around the world are observing Holy Week, a period of great importance to the religion. The faithful are finding new, safe ways to share in the event, as many churches around the world are closed because of the new coronavirus. Peace Lutheran Church serves a Christian community around Baldwin, Wisconsin. On a recent Sunday, its leader, Pastor John Hansen, spoke to his church members in an open area where people could listen from their cars. People really enjoyed seeing each other from their little bubbles, Hansen said, meaning members' cars. The 60-year-old has led Peace Lutheran for 28 years. At the beginning of Holy Week, a day Christians call Palm Sunday, Hansen used electronics to broadcast his words. His followers listened to his message over their car radios. The congregation also sang songs together from a safe social distance. In North Carolina, people in more than 200 cars gathered for a service led by Pastor Chris Griggs of Denver Baptist Church. Griggs said, "A lot of people had taken for granted what it means to get together for worship. But when it's taken away, you realize it's a really important part of my faith." But not every religious act is possible under the coronavirus closures. Leonard Blair is an Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. He informed local church officials that Catholics could not receive the sacrament of confession by telephone. The sacrament of confession is a follower's declaration of personal wrongdoing for which they may receive forgiveness. In Vatican City, Pope Francis observed Palm Sunday in an empty St. Peter's Basilica. The coronavirus has hit hard in Italy. The country has reported more deaths from COVID-19 than any other nation. For many in clergy service, carrying out important duties during Holy Week from a safe distance has been tricky. In Warsaw, Poland, Catholic clergyman Mateusz Kierlarski has started taking confessions from people in the parking lot of his church. He told Reuters news agency, "From the safety of their cars, they can take care of their soul while protecting their bodies from germs in this special time." Kilarski said that confession from a car can be private, although it takes place outside in public. "There is enough distance," he said. Zyman, a 23-year-old Catholic from Warsaw, was happy to confess from his vehicle. He said, "What's important is the moment, not whether it takes place in a beautiful church, within nature, or in a car." Holy Week ends Saturday. The next day is Easter, the day Christians believe Jesus, the human form of their God, returned to life from death.
Japan's Honda Motor Company has reopened its factory in the Chinese city of Wuhan more than 2 months after it was closed to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. But the reopening came with new virus protection measures, including temperature checks for workers and a rule that employees keep more than 1 meter apart. The factory is co-owned by Honda and China's Dongfeng Motor Group. It was shut in late January when officials ordered a lockdown in Wuhan over the coronavirus epidemic. The world's first coronavirus cases began appearing in areas around Wuhan in December. The factory reopened on March 11th and began operations slowly. It is now back to its pre-virus manufacturing rate, Li Shichuan told reporters. He is the assistant director of one of the factories. Returning workers were asked to report where they had been since the epidemic started, Li said. They were also asked to get their temperatures checked. A high temperature is one of the main signs that someone might be infected with the coronavirus. Li said about 98% of the 12,000 factory workers were now back on the job. The co-owned company made 800,000 cars last year. We have many customers who are waiting for cars, he said, adding that workers were putting in extra hours to meet demand. A sign in the factory said the goal was to make 1,237 cars that day. That is 17% higher than its usual target of 1,060 cars. Factories at another Honda co-owned company, this one with China's GAC, are also asking workers to work longer hours. GAC's chairman, Zeng Jinghong, told financial experts last week. The government permitted people to leave Wuhan on Wednesday in what is believed to be an important victory in the battle against the coronavirus. China's factories began reopening weeks ago as infection rates in many areas started to decrease. Now, other countries such as Italy and the United States are trying to stop the spread of the virus by asking businesses to close and the public to stay home. Honda has stopped manufacturing in the U.S. and Canada until May 1st. It has also closed factories in countries from Britain to Thailand. Some of its Japanese factories are also closing as necessary. The Wuhan factory reopened after the government approved its plan to fight infection risks, Li Shichuan said. The plan included the closure of break areas to prevent groups from gathering. Reuters reporters on a visit to the factory saw workers wearing gloves and masks. Most were staying a meter apart. Li said no coronavirus cases had been found since the factory reopened. I'm Jill Robbins.
Hello, friends. On a recent program, we talked about a game called Jeopardy. I also said I would show you more games that can help you practice your English grammar, speaking, and listening skills as you spend long periods at home. Today, we will talk about a game you can play both at home and over video conference with friends or family. Let's call it questions and answers. The game uses dice to create conversation between players. Dice are box-shaped objects often made of plastic or wood and small enough to hold in your hand. You can even make them yourself with paper. The six sides of a die have either dots, numbers, or words on them. We throw the die on a surface and use the side that faces up in gameplay. The game Questions and Answers uses two dice. One of the dice holds six question words, one on each side. Who, why, where, when, what, and how. The second die has a subject on each side. You can pick any six subjects you like. Here are some examples. Clothes, hobbies, sports, television, food, and places. At least two people are needed for the game. Here is how to play. Suppose someone rolls the dice and gets the words what and food. That player must ask another player a what question about food. They could ask, for example, what is your favorite meal? The player must answer the question in a complete sentence. Here is an example of a good answer. My favorite meal is garlic shrimp with rice. The great thing about this game is that no one can cheat. The questions and answers cannot be found in a Google search because they will be different for every player. Now, let's talk about who rolls the dice and who answers the questions. If you have only two players, then it is simple. One person rolls the dice and asks the question, the other person answers. You take turns doing this, so each person has the chance to ask and answer questions. If you have three players, the person rolling the dice can ask the same question to both players, and each gives their own answer. Then, the next person rolls the dice. For four or more players, before the game, you can decide on a way to choose who will answer the dice roller's question. You can ask everyone to answer the same question or play the game some other way. Note that if there are some players at home and other players on video chat, each location will need a set of dice. The good news is that paper dice are very easy to make. Visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. to see an image and read the quick and simple directions. I'm Alice Bryant.
People may have questions about the new coronavirus. Can it survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of these questions is no. But there are ways to protect yourself. Wash your hands. Cover your cough. Stay at home if you are sick or advised by local authorities. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to the Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. Today we tell about life in the United States during the 1960s. The 1960s began with the election of the first president born in the 20th century, John Kennedy. For many Americans, the young president represented a spirit of hope for the nation. When Kennedy was murdered in 1963, many felt that their hopes died too. This was especially true of young people and members and supporters of minority groups. A time of innocence and hope soon began to look like a time of anger and violence. Many Americans protested to demand an end to the unfair treatment of black citizens. Many more protested to demand an end to the war in Vietnam. And many protested to demand full equality for women. By the middle of the 1960s, it had become almost impossible for President Lyndon Johnson to leave the White House without facing protesters against the war in Vietnam. In March of 1968, Johnson announced that he would not seek another term in office. In addition to President Kennedy, two other influential Americans were murdered during the 1960s. Civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was shot in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968. Several weeks later, Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy's brother, was shot in Los Angeles, California. He was campaigning to win his party's nomination for president. The two murders resulted in riots in cities across the country. The unrest and violence affected many young Americans. The effect seemed especially bad because of the time in which they had grown up. By the middle 1950s, most of their parents had jobs that paid well. They expressed satisfaction with their lives. They taught their children what were called middle-class values. These included a belief in God, hard work, and service to their country. Later, many young Americans began to question these beliefs. They felt that their parents' values were not enough to help them deal with the social and racial difficulties of the 1960s. They rebelled by letting their hair grow long and by wearing unusual clothing. Their dissatisfaction was strongly expressed in music. Rock and roll music had become very popular in America in the 1950s. Some people, however, did not approve of it. They thought it was too sexual. These people disliked the rock and roll of the 1960s even more. They found the words especially unpleasant. The musicians themselves thought the words were extremely important. As singer and songwriter Bob Dylan said, "There would be no music without the words." Bob Dylan produced many songs of social protest. He wrote anti-war songs before the war in Vietnam became a violent issue in the United States. One was called "Blowin' in the Wind."
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend,
is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
In addition to songs of social protest, rock and roll music continued to be popular in America during the 1960s. The most popular group, however, was not American, it was British, the Beatles. Four rock and roll musicians from Liverpool.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand. Can I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
The Beatles' song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, went on sale in the United States at the end of 1963. Within 5 weeks, it was the biggest selling record in the country.
Let me hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love,
Other songs, including some by the Beatles, sounded more revolutionary. They spoke about drugs and sex, although not always openly.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
In the 1960s, do your own thing became a common expression. It meant to do whatever you wanted without feeling guilty. 500,000 young Americans did their own thing at the Woodstock Music Festival in 1969. They gathered at a farm in New York State. They listened to musicians such as Jimi Hendrix and Joan Baez, and to groups like The Who and Jefferson Airplane.
Look what's happening on the street, got a revolution. Hey, I'm dancing down the street, got a revolution. Hey, been waving on the people I meet, got a revolution.
Woodstock became a symbol of the young people's rebellion against traditional values. Many young people called themselves hippies. Hippies believed there should be more love and personal freedom in America. In 1967, poet Allen Ginsberg helped lead a gathering of hippies in San Francisco. No one knows exactly how many people considered themselves hippies, but 20,000 attended the gathering. Another leader of the event was Timothy Leary.
Now, energy comes.
He was a former university professor and researcher. Leary urged the crowd in San Francisco to tune in and drop out. This meant they should use drugs and leave school or their job. One drug that was used in the 1960s was lysergic acid diethylamide, or LSD. LSD causes the brain to see strange, colorful images. It can also cause brain damage. Some people say the Beatles' song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, was about LSD.
Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away.
As many Americans were listening to songs about drugs and sex, many others were watching television programs with traditional family values. These included The Andy Griffith Show and The Beverly Hillbillies. At the movies, some films captured the rebellious spirit of the times. These included The Graduate and Dr. Strangelove.
Deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack. And so, because of the automated and irrevocable decision-making process which rules out human meddling, the doomsday machine is terrifying. It's simple to understand and completely credible and convincing.
Gee, I wish we had one of them doomsday machines.
Other films offered escape through spy adventures like the James Bond films. Many Americans refused to tune in and drop out in the 1960s. They took no part in the social revolution. Instead, they continued leading normal lives of work, family, and home. Others, the activists of American society, were busy fighting for peace and racial and social justice.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
Women's groups, for example, were seeking equality with men. They wanted the same chances as men to get a good education and a good job. They also demanded equal pay for equal work. A widely popular book on women in modern America was called The Feminine Mystique. It was written by Betty Friedan and published in 1963. The idea known as the feminine mystique was the traditional idea that women have only one part to play in society. They are to have children and stay at home to raise them. In her book, Ms. Friedan urged women to establish professional lives of their own. In the early 1960s, a committee was appointed to investigate the condition of women. It was led by Eleanor Roosevelt. She was a former First Lady. The committee's findings helped lead to new rules and laws. The 1964 Civil Rights Act guaranteed equal treatment for all groups. This included women. After the law went into effect, however, many activists said it was not being enforced. The National Organization for Women, NOW, was started in an effort to correct the problem. The movement for women's equality was known as the Women's Liberation Movement. Activists were called women's libbers. They called each other sisters. Early activists were usually rich, liberal, white women. Later activists included women of all ages, women of color, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. They acted together to win recognition for the work done by all women in America.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.